The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and Daniel Tagg, my brother. How's everybody doing today?
Doing good.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm doing well.
I am happy that we have some fat bombs.
I'm just happy today. I went to see Wonder Woman last night. Oh my gosh. Danny, have you seen it yet?
Oh, yeah.
You have?
I stayed in line. I sat in line to go. No, I did not.
Well, let me just tell you.
Well, I will say this. I am not a superhero movie fan anyway.
I'm not either.
Anyway.
Me either. You know, the not
fight,
at all.
Yeah, the Fantastic Four and all that.
I got to tell you, they got me on this one. I think it's one of the top five best movies I've ever seen in my life.
It was well done.
It was so well done on every single level. I love the message about love and believing in love. And being positive and not letting evil take over the world. And I just love all of it. I want to go back and
just see, like every superhero movie.
Well, I know, but I don't know about, you know, we'll see. I haven't seen every superhero.
Well, no,
movie.
I mean, that's
Superman, even Batman
in the 60s, you know, the Adam West Batman, evil always loses.
Yeah.
So,
Well,
of course.
It was just, I loved it. I loved it.
Kinda like the Roadrunner and the Coyote. And that Roadrunner, I just wish the Coyote would get him once.
And I'm getting one of those bags put in my workout room, down in like my dance area where the cat prison is.
Bags.
I'm hanging it from the ceiling,
or
and
bags.
I'm
going
to kick
a punching bag?
You know, like where you swing your...
Heavy bag.
Heavy bag, heavy bag.
Yeah, it's a punching
bag. I used to, this place that I used to work out, I can't remember the name of it, but with Tina Burnett, and they had one there, and I used to do these things where I'd swing my leg up and kick from the side, and then I'd do the other side.
It's a roundhouse kick.
What's it called?
A roundhouse kick.
Oh, I thought you said a round ass
kick. No. No. Well, you could hit someone back there if you wanted to.
I can tell you this. My rear never looked better when I was doing those.
Well, that's all your training, Daniel, isn't it? As far
that
as,
is.
Was it taekwondo, jiu-jitsu, all that, or is that just a... What uses the heavy bag? What training?
Muay Thai and boxing are probably the most that use it the most. But, I mean, any style can use a punching bag.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a good workout. It really is.
It's a very good one.
And so I can't wait because I just really want to be as fit as I was a couple of years ago. And I'm slowly starting to get there. But, like, last night, like, ignited something in me.
Cool.
So,
that's good. Get
it's all good. So everyone that hasn't seen it, go see it because it's a great film for her. And the men, of course, will love it because she's absolutely stunningly beautiful and inside and out on every level.
And I love that we talked about this earlier. She put on 15 pounds for that and she looks better than she ever has.
Yep. And 15 pounds of muscle.
Yes,
exactly.
And she actually got leaner.
Yeah.
You know, she came back and did a few shots later on once she was pregnant. They came back and had to do some post shots.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pregnant in part of that.
Right, she is.
And she still looked awesome. She seems like just a nice lady in real life.
Well, she was a model, wasn't she?
Yes.
Because I saw pictures of her in her modeling career, and she was a runway model, so she was rail thin.
Yes.
Right. Well, and Tina Burnett told me something. I trained with her this morning. I'm actually training. I'm training with her every day until she leaves.
Oh,
pretty
get as much.
Much
in as you
yeah,
can.
As much as in, I, in as I can.
Well, what if she doesn't leave? Then you're going to be.
Well,
training
I'll
every day.
I can't afford to train every day, both in time and money. But and I think it's too much. You got to take your rest, and we'll talk about all that with you, Daniel Tagg. For those of you just now joining us, is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center. He is certified in orthokinetics and biomechanics of resistance training, and he's also a licensed massage therapist. And Daniel holds belts in three different martial arts systems. And I'm so excited about today's show because Ryan Lowry is going to be on here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to be talking about coconut oil, a bluff, if whether or not it's good or bad for you. There's all these articles that are coming out trying to say that coconut oil isn't good for you. So, and you're not going to believe that. You got to stay tuned because, you know, the American Heart Association wants to set the record straight. So they say that coconut oil is not a health food. And a panel of experts write in a new AHA, which is the American Heart Association advisory statement, nor is any type of saturated fat. The paper adds, and we're going to talk all about it because I'm calling BS on it. I'm calling total BS on it, yeah. And it's all got to do with the money and the statins and the pharmaceutical companies. You don't want to miss this. I'm
so that includes you. Avocados too. That
exactly.
Includes yeah. eggs.
Exactly.
Egg
Thank
yolks.
You. Thank yeah. you, Danny. It's yeah. A, yeah, yeah. It's, and everybody knows now that you know a plant based diet is best, and or Mediterranean or keto or one of those three. Basically, mm-hmm. everything in moderation.
Yeah. Whole foods
and whole foods, yeah. good foods. Coconut is a plant. Avocado yes. is a plant. Mm-hmm. Olive oil is a plant, and it's not unhealthy for you. And so we're going to talk all about.
I just
it.
Wish. Yeah. You could go and buy a coconut, and it's easy to open. That's
right.
I love coconut, but you can't. It's not like you could go to a store like they have, you know, melons,
oh,
and,
yeah.
and buy a melon or buy a mango. I wish you could just buy a coconut and where it would be easy to peel and eat, but
well,
it's not.
Did you try one of Daniel's fat
yes,
bombs?
Yes,
amazing. Okay, so we're going to put this recipe out on both oneliferadio.com,
on
the blog.
It melts in your mouth.
It does, not in your hands.
Awesome.
well, a little bit in your hands, which that's okay.
Yes.
Eat
yeah.
it quick. But and we're going to put this also on social media.
Social media yeah.
So this is his chocolate coconut fat bombs. It's just 4 tablespoons of coconut oil, 2 tablespoons of cocoa powder, 4 tablespoons of peanut butter, 4 tablespoons of butter, 10 drops of stevia. Blend it, put it in a freezer ice tray or a little mini muffin pan. These things are to die for.
Yep.
And they're so satiating too.
Oh, yeah.
And
satiating.
The coconut oil is good for you inside and out. I just can't even believe. I can't even believe the corruption that goes on in this country. And I'm just going to call out the American Heart Association on this one because I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it, and there's a reason that they're saying these things, and it's because the profits have dropped.
Right.
The profits have dropped for these companies, and so now they want to tell us that coconut oil is bad for us. So,
well, it'll be interesting to see what Ryan says because he's the one researching it in the lab to see what the actual data is.
Right. Okay. And so the new book that Dr. Nasha Winters wrote, mm-hmm. The Metabolic Approach to Cancer, talking about and epilepsy too, the ketogenic diet helps with that. But this is right out of her book, Healthy Fats. And they're talking about the ketogenic diet in here. But good healthy fats include nuts and seeds, which should be raw, soaked and sprouted if possible, as well as their fresh milks, butters, oils, and flours. Varieties include almond, Brazil, chia, flax, hazelnut, macadamia, pecan, pine nuts, pistachio, pumpkin, sesame, sunflower, and walnut. Notice no peanuts or cashews. These are technically legumes. Coconut products are wonderful.
Peanuts are not a nut.
Yeah, but listen
peanuts
to this.
Are a legume,
so she,
right?
she, mm-hmm. she singles out coconuts. Coconut products are wonderful, including fresh and shredded coconut oil, coconut cream, and coconut milk, coconut flour, and coconut aminos. And that's coming straight from Dr. Nasha Winters and Jess Higgins Kelly, who wrote the book, The Metabolic Approach to Cancer. And I could go on. I've got a whole artillery over here of stuff I'm going to read. I've been feverishly going through all my stuff this morning because I'm angry that they're putting that information out there because I, based on the scientists and the doctors that I know that have been on this show who have studied this and researched it extensively, I'm calling BS on it. And so I can't wait to
well,
hear
I think
what Ryan
everything,
has to say.
Like you said earlier, everything is in moderation. And Daniel, you know, those fat bombs are the bomb.
Yeah.
However, if you're not on a specific diet and you don't work out, if you have your sugar, you have your... You know, your sandwiches, and then you eat those fat bombs, those could be worse for you than anything, right?
I don't know about worse than anything because it's still got coconut oil, which is a good supplementation on
mm-hmm.
any diet.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, within moderation.
Yeah,
if you had one or two, it
wouldn't hurt you on that other
diet.
No,
that's a good snack. But if you started pounding them like you would M&M's.
Yes. Then
that would be bad.
With the combination of sugars. And
too much anything isn't good for you.
Exactly.
That includes can kill
but
you.
But what I'm saying,
yeah.
those fat bombs in combination with a bad diet, that's not good.
Correct. In excess, you are correct. You can't pound 10 of them. Like I can and be fine.
Well, we've covered this topic in depth on the show. We have. Sean Wells has covered this in depth. As recently as February 5th, 2016, cholesterol, the biggest scam that there is.
Yes.
And then on February 12th, this is part two, the cholesterol, the biggest scam that there is. You know, it's... I can't wait to talk about it, everybody. Stay tuned. We've got Ryan Lowry coming up, Rosalie Robinson, and Daniel Tagg. You're listening to One Life Radio. Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Do you want to reverse the early signs of aging? Hi, this is Bernadette. Do what I do. Pixel Perfect is an aesthetic laser treatment that lifts away years from your face. It can help reverse the early signs of aging and helps counteract years of sun damage or acne scarring. It provides noticeable results. Imagine a dramatic new you. To learn more, go to LynnRobertsMD.com. That's L-Y-N-N-E, RobertsMD.com. Or call 469-232-9300. That's 469-232-9300. And tell them that Bernadette sent you.
One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, Daniel Tagg, and I have Ryan Lowry on the line. He is a PhD student at Concordia University and has published over 80 manuscripts, abstracts, and book chapters on human performance and sports nutrition. He also serves as the president of the Applied Science and Performance Institute in Tampa, Florida. Ryan Lowry, welcome to One Life Radio. You're one of our regulars. I'm so excited about what we're talking about today.
Oh, thanks, Brenda. I'm super excited as well because it's all over the media and mainstream. And I really think that what we do here on One Life Radio is provide a lot of clarification for people. And I hope this does this as well.
Well, start wherever you want because we need clarification on this. This is huge when you think about the ramifications of all of it, because, you know, the present statin business is $29 billion a year. And that's up from $19 billion in 2010. And that's pretty scary in itself. And I don't know if you heard me, if it was with you or some other guest on the radio. I actually took my youngest daughter for her 12-year checkup for school back about, I don't know, 7-8 months ago. And they said they wanted to do a cholesterol test on her. She's in perfect shape. She's got a great physique. She's healthy. She is a healthy, healthy child. She eats well. I was beside myself when they asked me if I wanted to do a cholesterol, if I would allow them to do a cholesterol check on her. I'm like, for what? For what? Why would you want to do that at 12 years old? Are you going to put her on statins? You know, and it's just ridiculous. And the root of the problem is the diet and lifestyle. Cholesterol is not a disease. It's just when it's high, it's just a symptom of the disease, correct?
Right. And you you bring up a fantastic point, and a lot of things that doctors will do, and basically the general gist that came out is that people are fearing, we're going back to the 1960s, and people are fearing saturated fats again. And there was a huge article and a press release by the American Heart Association that got blown up by the media saying that coconut oil is bad for you, and it's going to increase your cholesterol. The challenge is this, and this is one of my, I can go on forever talking about how that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
The main takeaway is this. Cholesterol is a good marker, like you said, of a certain disease. But people look at it the wrong way. When we go to a typical doctor and we get our cholesterol levels checked, what he's telling us is our total cholesterol, our HDL cholesterol, and then they might estimate LDL cholesterol. The challenge is that LDL cholesterol isn't everything. There's different particle sizes with LDL cholesterol that truly matter, and smaller LDL cholesterol are what are the problem. Bigger LDL cholesterol don't cause a problem. So two people, even if they have 130 milligrams per deciliter of cholesterol, and say 80 of that is LDL, two people can have the same exact LDL levels, and one of them can be very high risk for some disease, and the other one can be very low risk. So the key point and takeaway is that cholesterol, even the one that you're typically getting from your doctor, isn't the be-all, end-all sign of whether someone's healthy or unhealthy.
Well, absolutely. And I'm going back to some old notes from a show that Sean Wells did, you know, a fellow with the ISSN, as yourself, a member, a nutritionist through the ISSN. And so he asked the question, so why did the 2004 National Cholesterol Education Program guidelines expand the previous guidelines to recommend that more people take statins from 13 million to 40 million, and that people that who don't have heart disease should take them to prevent heart disease? Could it have been that 8 of the 9 experts on the panel who developed these guidelines had financial ties to the drug industry?
Oh, man. You know what? And that very well could be. I mean, statins are so, they come with some brutal side effects, and they get handed out like candy these days. And it drives me insane. And you'll like this as well, because I actually just saw this article pop up. The American Heart Association are the one that came out and recommended and were very fearful of recommending saturated fat, specifically coconut oil. Well, 2 months ago, they just got a $500,000 donation from the soybean oil industry, and a big player in soybean oil. And so a lot of it is, it could be agenda-driven, and it's frustrating for me, being someone trying to get out there and help educate and do what we do to get this message out there, because people look at this and they see it pop up on the news and different media outlets and they take it at face value. But it takes people really listening and breaking it down like we do here on One Life and getting it out to people in an easy, understandable manner to know it's not bad. It's not that bad. Don't worry about it.
Right.
It's all about the context of your daily routine and your diet.
Well, and cholesterol is only one factor of many and not even the most important that contribute to your risk of getting heart disease, correct?
Absolutely right. It's just one. And like we said, total cholesterol and LDL cholesterol, they're just one piece of the puzzle. You need to look deeper. If you really wanted to look at it, you need to look at things like triglycerides, LDL level particle size, and what all of those mean.
Yeah, and I'm going to read this little excerpt from the book, The Neurogenesis, Diet and Lifestyle, by Brant Courtwright, PhD. He was on the show about a month ago. I'm really just loving his book. It's so good. It's got so much good stuff in it. But he says, cooking with most vegetable oils produce oxidized fats at an alarming rate. The vegetable oil industry jumped on the low saturated fat bandwagon in the 1960s, donating vast sums of money to the American Heart Association. It's one of the bitterest ironies of the modern era that the dietary guidelines of the American Heart Association for low fat and high carbohydrates helped create this very epidemic of heart disease they were attempting to prevent. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. And it's really so sad to see. And a lot of the information that gets put out by these organizations, and we've talked about this before on the show, are correlational studies. And the key thing to remember is that these correlational studies, you can't say that one thing causes the other. You can't say that saturated fat causes heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
That's like me coming out and saying, you know what? ice cream, it, like rates of murder go up in the summer, but so does consumption of ice cream.
Right.
So, eating ice cream doesn't make you a murderer. They just happen to correlate very strongly.
Well, I don't know. Why don't we ask Washington? Maybe they have something to say about it. You know, and you, I don't know if you've heard Mylon Ross, who's been on the show several times. He has an amazing story. He was on the Today Show just a couple of weeks ago because he lost 240 pounds, got rid of the negative mindset that he had from after the death of his mother. That's what prompted the change. That, along with he was at Disney World and was too fat to get on a ride. And that's when he decided, I'm going to change my life. He is featured in the book, The Whole Foods Diet, and he also wrote his own book, The Change. But in this new book that Whole Foods put out, it was written by John Mackey, of course, co-founder and CEO, and then Alona Pulday, a medical doctor, and Matthew Letterman, also a medical doctor. But here's what they have to say about cholesterol. It says, fixing your numbers is not enough. When you go to your doctor and you are told that your cholesterol is elevated or that your blood pressure is too high, you're likely to be prescribed medications to bring those numbers down. It's important to understand that those numbers are indicators of the disease, not the disease itself. The medications will adjust the indicators rather than addressing the underlying causes of the problem. This is a common practice in modern medicine. Many doctors and drug companies speak about high cholesterol as if it is a disease and of itself, when in fact it is not. The disease is damaged arteries. High cholesterol is just a warning sign. Statins will improve your cholesterol numbers, but they will do little to reverse cardiovascular disease in your arteries. Agreed?
Oh, I absolutely love that. I couldn't agree more. And you know, so often in the medical community, we address the symptoms and we never treat the root cause.
Right.
We never get down to the root cause, which is diet, lifestyle interventions, and instead talk about symptoms.
Well, and heartache. That's why I brought up Mylon Ross. He's a perfect example. He was dealing with an emotional heartache of his mother passing away over before he got to make amends with her, and it caused him a lot of emotional turmoil. It caused him to overeat, and next thing you know, he's 240 pounds. He's on 12 different prescription drugs, and he reversed all of it by getting on a Whole Foods diet.
Well, you know, let's talk about the symptoms, Ryan, because every now and then you hear of a runner that, you know, you look at him and he probably looks at himself or her looks at herself in the mirror and they're fit, they're healthy, they run, and all of a sudden, boom, they drop dead. What are the warning signs of someone with the silent killer, so to speak?
Yeah, you know, it's very, very challenging. And people think that you can't out-exercise a bad diet. And that's a big, big concern, is that a lot of these individuals, they never know. And sometimes it's just fluke. Sometimes if you go to your doctor, it's asking the right questions and getting the right test done, and then kind of like being your own scientist in the sense of, all right, how do I really take these numbers and understand them for myself? Because like you said, Bernadette, oftentimes you go to a doctor, they're going to go, all right, I'm just going to give you this basic safety panel, look at basic cholesterol levels. Oh, you're high. Let me immediately put you on a statin. And it's absurd because you're like, well, wait, why is this the case? Why are we putting me on a statin? I exercise, I eat right, let's look deeper. And it's always about getting deeper and deeper and getting closer to that root cause.
Well, I can tell you, when they were looking at my beautiful, physically fit daughter, who is a picture of health, and asked me if they could do a cholesterol test, I couldn't believe it. I thought, this is so unconscionable. It really is. And how many other mothers and fathers are they doing this to that aren't as educated as I am on the subject? And it just really makes me mad, because that's dollars out of their pocket. And that's just like you said, there's a lot of side effects of these statins that they're putting children on now.
It's crazy. And it's not even just the statins. You're talking ADHD medication,
right.
You're talking antibiotic. I mean, it becomes a lot easier when you go, hey, do this test. Oh, test A comes back and it's a little bit higher than normal. Here's your quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, as a society, we need to get away from the quick fix and go, all right, how do I take time to really address what I need to address? And that's the root cause of the
issue.
You know,
I just thought of something. You go to your family practitioner or, you know, go to a doctor, you get blood work. You own those numbers, though, right? Can't you take those numbers and take it to your, you know, nutritionist or something like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. The challenge is this, is that people put so much trust, and that's why it's very, very important to find a good doctor and a good physician that you trust and is open to change and willing to work with you. And because they trust that this is the doctor, and oftentimes you should have that trust for the doctor. Mm-hmm. You trust, well, this guy has my best interest in heart, and they're going to tell you, hey, you need this, and most people just take it at face value and go, all right, well, where do I get it?
Yeah.
A second opinion never helps, or never hurts, I mean, not yeah. helps, hurts. A second opinion never hurts, correct?
You must have Bernadette-itis over there, Danny. Oh, my goodness. Ryan, so good to have you on the show. Can't wait to talk about this some more. And everyone out there, go eat your coconut oil and don't worry about it, okay?
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right, Ryan Lowry. You can find all of our experts at OneLifeRadio.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta-Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta-Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and I have Rosalie Robinson on the line. She is the president and founder of Consilium Human Capital and vice president of human resources for MAG Retail Group here in the Dallas area. Rosalie is our in-house human resources expert. She has over 30 years HR leadership experience working with Fortune 500 companies, and she is also an experienced PCC level executive coach with a certification from the International Federation of Coaches and the University of Texas at Dallas. And we're talking again. We're continuing this conversation with Rosalie about email and texting etiquette. How are you doing?
I am awesome, Bernadette. I'm so sorry I'm not in studio. I always love being with you guys.
Me too. And so I think this is so funny. And I don't know, I'm debating whether or not I should call you out on your text from last night at 12:15. Oh, and because we're talking about this today, about etiquette, and I was like laughing out loud. I wanted to respond back to you, but I didn't because there was two other people on the text chain and I didn't want to wake them up if they weren't awake like I was and you were. So tell me, Miss Robinson, what you think about that.
Yes, you definitely don't do that for business. Never send business texts at that time. You should stop at about 5 p.m. or 6 p.m.
Right.
So I badly, shame on me, sent it to you, Danny, and Lexi going, hey, this is just too funny. I just got to share this. This is hysterical. It cracks me up. What do you think?
Oh, my gosh. Well, and then I was preparing for the show today, and I had a lot of reading to do, and I just thought, I'll get her on the air tomorrow. I hope you're not mad at me, but I thought it was so funny.
No, you should call me up. It was hysterical. And I mean, if you think about it, the article is so apropos for what, you know, actually this activity, because the article was about stupidity and it was done by a professor at UC Berkeley. And it's funny because it talks about the fact that people who are stupid are not only bad for themselves, they literally hurt themselves, and whatever they're arguing for or doing is not of no benefit to the other person.
Yeah, but what you did was not stupid. You know that I'm up late a lot of nights, and so I did see it, and I should have probably responded privately to you. But like I said, I was deep in prep for today's show, doing a lot of heavy reading. Which reminds me. So Lori Hernandez is coming up tomorrow, the author of the book I Got This to Gold and Beyond. We're really looking forward to that.
I want.
Should I text her?
No, don't text her. and this is the great part about it. So the reason why I tie it together with it is that was my stupid moment. So I shouldn't have done that, because, you know, one of the good things about texting is it's so fast, right?
Yeah.
And it's so easy. And this was an example of one of those stupid moments where it was so easy to share this funny thing.
Right.
And, you know, but bad timing, right? Because it's after midnight. And to your point, it really could ping and wake someone up. Me, I get off a plane and I'm like, I forgot that. And that's one of the things about texting. When we talk about professionally, we want to avoid things like that. We also want to avoid one of the big taboos. Think about the worst message you could get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, when it comes to work, what are some of the bad messages people might send you? Like, you didn't get this job that you tried to interview for.
We just got robbed.
Or, you know, at work, you know, you're being fired, you're being let go, mm-hmm. or your boss thinks you made a mistake. All those are things you would not put into a text.
Right.
Text is for quick, short messages, but you don't want to use it for transmitting or communicating those really important types of information.
Well, can you tweet it?
Face-to-face. No. Don't do a Trump.
Can you tweet someone got fired?
No. Don't do a Trump. It's not great.
Mostly, though, that does lead to a question, though, that I have. If something happens in the business world and you are more than just an acquaintance, you are a friend of your colleague. Mm-hmm. However, it's like late at night. Do you text or do you email, or can you do both?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I get caught on that too.
If you need something, if you need like an answer within, you know, by the next morning, or you need to get that person's attention, you're not necessarily going to accomplish that through an email, because you don't know how often that person looks at their email. Mm-hmm. But if it's after hours, meaning maybe 6, 7, 8 mm-hmm. o'clock at night, mm-hmm. do you text that person if it is a colleague, not a stranger, but a colleague?
So, great question, Danny. And the rule of thumb should be ask permission first. So this is something you want to set up early in the relationship, right? So once you've gotten past, you know, hey, this is just an acquaintance or just my colleague I work with, and you're talking to each other regularly, you want to ask people, what's the best way to communicate with you? People usually have a preference, like we talked about last time, right? Do I call you? Do I email you? Do I text you? Do I do all three? What's your preference? Next piece of information is, how late can I do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm normally not going to text you outside of work hours. If something happens and I need to reach you, though, do you want me to reach you, and how late can I do that?
Mm-hmm.
Up until what time? When you set those kind of guidelines up front, it's really respectful. It gives that person the opportunity to say, you can any time up until 11, then I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, some people, like me, I actually put my phone on Do Not Disturb, so you could text me all you want.
Right.
I'm not going to get it. I also put it on airplane mode when I'm finally going to sleep, so now I'm really not going to get it until I wake up and turn the thing on, so it doesn't really matter. But I think it's really important for people to kind of know that and ask permission up mm-hmm. front, Danny.
Well, and I think, you know, I know I used to suffer from this, because I'm so impetuous, and I can be a bit impatient, and if it's something to do with the show or when it was Adrift, you know, I would... would maybe text a little later than later than I that would be accepted as far as good etiquette, proper etiquette. And but I've kind of felt like I've roped myself in. Lexi, I'm going to let you, you know, be straightforward. Have I violated you at all with my texting?
I mean, you are my boss, but I feel like you're also my friend.
I am.
So it doesn't
absolutely
feel like an invasion if
right
you call me at 8 o'clock.
But isn't
right
the rule of thumb if it could wait? Wait.
Yeah, and I try to do that. It depends upon what it is, but I think I do pretty well on the
great
etiquette.
But there are certain cases too, Rosalie, that you might forget it. So you thought you're thinking is okay, I'm going to email this or text this right now while it's fresh in my mind. That's
right
not necessarily
that's me
good
too
either, is it?
No, it's not. What you just said a second ago, Danny, is really important. Can it wait?
Right.
And so one of the big, you know, another rule of thumb is, if I sit down, is anything going to happen that changes about this in the next hour? Right? Is this so urgent? Like, if it doesn't get addressed in the next hour, because if it's that urgent, you're probably going to pick up the phone and call the person.
Yeah.
You're not going to text. You're not going to email, right? Because you need to connect. So if the answer is, no, it's not that urgent, then it can wait.
Mm-hmm.
And if it can wait, then you don't need to text it or email it at
right
this moment. You want to wait. I think the other thing that people forget about is to make sure you look over your messages before you send them. You know, these text things auto-correct, and if you haven't seen some of the things they can change to, you know, you could be sending a note to someone, and all of a sudden it says a bunch of things. And remember, once it's sent, that can be screenshot and then posted somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
What an embarrassment, right?
Right.
You really want to look over your messages before you send them. Make sure they're short, they're concise. You also want to make sure you're not reply all every time you get an email. Sometimes you really have to think about who is my audience, who really needs to see and hear my response. And then there may be 20 people on an email and you really want to only send it to two.
Right.
Do that. Make sure your message is targeted and to the people who need to see
that
it.
That gets very tiresome
oh, yeah
on my end, because I'll sit there and it's like, why am I on this thread?
Right.
I don't need this constant email.
Yeah.
Or
that happens
emails
a lot. Well, you know where that happens a lot, Rosalie and Danny? That happens a lot with school things. If you're, you know, with like everybody, the whole room is covered on, you know, every parent, teacher.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't care what your response is. You didn't have to reply all, you know, so everybody knows who's doing what, you know, and it's annoying to me.
You know, Daniel, real quickly, how do you converse with your clients? Is it email or texting?
About 95% is texting.
Is it really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now, do you have two phones, or do you give out your personal
number? I give out my personal number because I feel like most of my clients end up being my friends as well.
Yeah.
So they text me, and if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll look at it and just won't respond until the morning. You know?
Yeah. Well, and Rosalie, you can text me anytime, sister.
Oh, thank you.
And if I apologies for not responding. I feel really bad for not responding last night.
No.
But I couldn't respond on the whole text chain, and I just, you know, like I said, was deep in reading and just thought, you know, then we'll go back and forth and back and forth, and I just need to probably just get read and get to bed. So
I get that.
All right. All right, Rosalie, thank you so much for jumping on the air with us. We'll see you next week.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right. That's Rosalie Robinson. You can find all of our experts at OneLifeRadio.com. Download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. You're listening to One Life Radio. Gotta get that boom, 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 that boom, boom, boom,
that boom. Hi, it's Bernadette. Introducing Charlotte's Web new hemp-infused coffee. Cannabis coffee that doesn't get you high. Boost your morning with antioxidants and neuroprotectants. A calm cup of coffee for improved focus and clarity. Charlotte's Web new 5280 hemp-infused coffee from Snow Street Coffee and Charlotte's Web. Dedicated to quality and responsibly sourced products. Colorado companies Snow Street Coffee and CW Hemp have come together to create a great tasting coffee that features the unique benefits of cannabinoids. In creating this coffee, great taste was and is the priority. Roasted in small batches, 5280 Coffee blends a mix of diverse coffees from the Central American highlands. Their whole bean coffee is always roasted medium for full coffee flavor and balance, and then infused with a blend of CW cannabinoid extract in MCT-rich coconut oil. Once combined with the unmatched care that goes into Charlotte's Web, the results are a fantastic cup of coffee with an added daily health and wellness boost. Available in a 12-ounce resealable bag with 500 milligrams of Charlotte's Web hemp extract. Find them at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley, and Daniel Tagg. Daniel Tagg is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center. He is certified in orthokinetics and biomechanics of resistance training. He is a licensed massage therapist and holds belts in three different martial arts systems.
That's awesome.
And he makes a heck of a chocolate coconut fat bomb, oil.
I am known for those.
Yeah, and so we just put the recipe out on Facebook. So go to our Facebook page and like us and get the recipe. We'll also put it on One Life Radio. Radio.com, or go to iHeartMedia and listen to us live from your mobile device. We are now podcasting in several different places like Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and TuneIn. Or you can go to our website, OneLifeRadio.com, to subscribe to our newsletter. A big shout out to our sponsors, Crazy Water, Charlotte's Web, Squatty Potty, the ISSN, that's the International Society of Sports Nutrition, Sun Warrior, and One Stop Paleo Shop. All great companies, like-minded, providing great products out there for you so you can live your best, healthiest life. And speaking of your best, healthiest life, we're talking about recovery and the physics of lifting today with Daniel Tagg. So how much time do you need for your muscles to recover between workouts? And the reason I'm asking is I'm working out 3 days in a row this week.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little nervous about maybe overdoing it.
Yeah, that could definitely be possible. It all depends on what muscle group you're training, how intensely you're training, and what the overall volume is. And volume being, you know, the weight and how much time under tension you have in the actual workout session.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of pain, right?
Yeah.
If you're feeling soreness, kind of let it alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you just kind of feel like, it's a little sore, sometimes it's good to go in and do a little light workout. If you feel like you can barely lift your arm, don't work out.
Well, you know, and my recovery is so much better now than it used to be because I take turmeric every single day.
Yes.
That's one of the supplements that I take. And then the hemp extract, CW hemp, really helps me manage my body pain. It's just remarkable, really. I haven't taken any ibuprofen in years, like over 2 years now.
Nice.
Which is remarkable because I used to be one of those poppers, like I would pop it after every workout.
Mm-hmm.
It was like totally addicted to the stuff, and it's really not good for you.
Right. Yeah. It's all about, you know, being able to judge for yourself, like, hey, when your body will give you these signals of it's too much or I'm okay. But the general rule is, you know, big muscles like, legs, like glutes, quads, hamstrings, all that kind of stuff. General rule is 48 hours if you worked them out pretty intense.
And I had some really good. You want me to do one of my
yeah,
things today? You can do a play by play.
Here we go.
So I had
really?
It's part of
really?
Our shtick.
I feel like
we should
have like an intro to the play by play, some kind of jingle.
Yeah, so I had two 15 pound weights, one in each arm. I'm going to show you what I did.
Okay, she's shaking off. She's getting.
Okay.
I love this. Okay, she's shaking it off.
Oh, she's taking
the shoes off. She's getting serious.
I got
Wow. Okay, she's got two dumbbells. She's holding them. She's going down in the squat, and she's jumping up, and then she's going back up into like a not a military press, but just a press overhead, palms
shoulder
facing
press,
in.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So it's basically like a squat press, but you're jumping into the squat press.
And it's two squats.
Yeah.
And a press. So
yes.
It zaps me. I can only do like 12 to 15. It kicks my rear end.
But do you need to do those with weights, Daniel? Because if someone's not used to working out, that could be painful, or that could lead to an injury on your back.
So if you're not in shape, you definitely don't want
to
try that. But then every time you look at an exercise, Danny, you got to look at it cost versus benefit. Okay, So when she leaves the ground and she hits back down, there is going to be a certain cost to the joints. Okay,
right.
You're getting the benefit of cardiovascular, benefit of muscles, but when you have the impact and you're taking it back down, there's going to be a bigger cost to the joints with that extra added weight.
I was on a pad.
Okay, so you're on a pad, so you're decreasing the cost on your joints because it's absorbing the force a little bit more. And it depends on how hard you hit. If you hit and go right into the squat and decelerate it slowly, there's going to be a minimal cost to the joint. But if you go and you just hit with like locked knees, there's going to be a big cost there.
Yeah, no, I only jumped up a couple of inches.
Yeah.
I don't even know why. It just makes it more fun. I guess it makes me feel like I'm more badass.
Yeah, it's fun jumping around, you know? And it takes a lot more energy to do that because you're using explosiveness, and it's a plyometric. But remember, plyometrics in themselves are a little bit higher cost on the joints. You just want to limit the amount of volume being overall repetitions, weight, everything else that you're doing on plyometrics. You do plyometrics, you usually want to use lighter weight and then do fewer reps and more rest in between sets.
Well, and so how does physics apply to lifting?
So that's a very good question. So, you know, the physics, basically the definition of physics is the branch of science concerned with the nature and properties of matter and energy. So,
wow. Okay.
Yeah, so we're getting a little deep today.
Science concerned with the nature and properties of matter and energy. Okay.
Yes, that was straight out of the dictionary, right?
Okay.
But it goes into what we're talking about.
That.
So the two main things that we're going to talk about are axes and levers, okay? Axis is kind of like where your joint is moving around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything moves around your joint, right? And your lever arm, so say you're just going to do a lateral raise with your arm, right? Coming straight up to the side. Your axis is your shoulder joint because that's where the motion is coming from. Your lever arm is your hand or your arm. And if you have that weight at the end of that lever arm, that increases the overall load of that weight. So I can manipulate the weight of a five pound dumbbell and make it really heavy as far as the load, or very light as far as load. And that goes into how long the lever arm is.
Right. You're talking about exactly. So we did some triceps today, and I'll show you again.
Okay, here she goes. She's throwing it off. She didn't get the hair shake this time, though. She's not as serious about this one. She is taking off the shoes or bringing them over.
Weights.
Oh, no, she's holding the shoes. Sorry. They're six-pound weights. She's laying down on her back, head facing up. Okay, she's bringing her hands up, and she's okay. So she's starting with her wrists over her shoulders, and going with the wrist going back towards the head, like she's right next to the ears, and then back up to where the hands are over the shoulders.
What does laying down do differently than just doing that standing?
So laying down orientates gravity differently on the muscle. So she is going to be in a 90-degree shoulder flexion position when she starts, with gravity going straight through. So the lever arm is actually straight over the joint right there with gravity pressing straight down, which actually comes to the next question I'm going to answer it, moment arms. So the moment arm is the distance from the weight to the point of axis. So it can actually, as you're straight up and down, if you're on your back, I'm trying to explain this where everyone can understand.
Because it is hard to explain it, but it is very important because that exercise kicked my rear. I could only do like 8 or 10 of them.
It's a great exercise because you're more braced, right? But at the top, you actually have no resistance on the tricep because there's no moment arm because that weight is going directly through, gravity is pressing down directly through that joint. So once you start to bend your elbow and come away where there's a distance from your joint to that hand, then the moment arm gets bigger, and as you're coming back and you're in a 90-degree elbow flexion position with the weights next to your head, that's the biggest moment arm. It's the distance from your joint to where the weight is being held. And the actual the lever arm is how far your hand is away from your elbow, which is the distance of your forearm.
Right, but it's amazing because they were only 6-pound weights, and they felt like they were weighed 10 or 15 pounds.
Yes.
Like they felt really, really heavy because of how I positioned my elbows, and I didn't go past, I believe, 90-degree angle.
Yep.
And then I did not lock out my arms so that I kept the tension.
So you actually increased tension on the tricep by not locking out because you didn't go to zero moment arm.
Right.
Now, you could go to zero moment arm and just focus on contracting it yourself, but you're not going to have any actual resistance from the weight. So that's why you would not want to lock out your arm.
Right.
There.
You never really want to lock out anything because
you can lock it out. We lock things out in life all the time. It's just how do we do it? Do we do it fast and just jam it in that position? Do we do it controlled? And do we keep the muscle contracted when we do it?
Okay, so explain what a moment arm is.
So that's kind of what I was just going into. It's so imagine a squat, okay? So there's going to be three different axes in a squat because we're bending from our hips, our knees, and our ankles, okay?
Oh, wow,
so it gets a little bit more complicated, right? And then now we have the lever arm is where the weight is on our, say it's on our back, it's a back squat, right? So the lever arm is, I'm standing up as I'm doing this.
I'm going to. I'll give you the play-by-play
exactly.
now. Okay,
so
he's standing up.
Yeah, so I'm leaning over, right? And now the lever arm is the distance from my hips and where the weight is on my back, right?
Right.
But now the moment arm, if you were to draw a straight line from, if I'm bending at a, you know, say I'm going down to a squat, both my hips, ankles, and knees are all flexing, right? And now the weight's over my shoulders, and you drew a line from the weight all the way down to the ground. Now, there's going to be different distances from that line from my knees, my ankles, and my hips that all have different distances. Those are the different moment arms, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it from the front, then you're looking at, okay, that weight is maybe if you drew that straight line, that line might be 3 inches in a four, ahead of my ankle. It might only be 2 inches ahead of my knee, and then it's actually about 4 inches away from my hip. So it actually increases the tension on my glutes, which is hip flexors.
Right, and you don't ever
extensors.
Want your knees to go over your toes.
It's okay as long as you keep the weight on the heel and as long as you have the ankle motion.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because
yes.
You can really do some injuries to your knees by doing it. You can really injure your knees.
If the weight goes to the toes, yeah.
All right. This was fun, you know.
Yep.
I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll find out after the show what you guys thought, I'm sure. We'll get a few emails. But anyway, always fun doing it. And thank you so much for being with us today, Daniel. Always a pleasure. Thank you for those coconut oil bombs. They're the bomb. I'm here to tell you. You guys got to make some for yourself. Everyone, you know what? Be kind. Spread love because it matters. It really, really does. You only get one body, one mind, and one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.